This is the Honolulu Cheese Podcast. I am your co-host, Jose. Joining me, as always, Ryan, Moran. What up, fellas? What's good?
What's going on, guys?
Same old, man. Another day, another dollar.
Same old. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We missed last week. We took a little week hiatus, so we're back. A lot of things happened in the NFL last week, so we'll jump into it, cover it.
A lot of things did happen. My beard disappeared.
Bro.
Bridges are collapsing all over the world.
Bro.
P. Diddy's leaving the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, as is Cam Sutton, possibly.
Hopefully. He's still, you know, with us.
We hope.
So, Ryan, you want to get into what happened to your beard or lack thereof?
Yeah, so quick story time. I go to the barber today. He's of the heavy Arabic persuasion, and I can say that because I'm Arabic. It's fine. So miscommunications happened. My beard was pretty bushy. I told him, give me like half of this. And he said, half? And I said, yeah, half of this. And he's like, okay, half. He just cuts into the beard. And right away I saw the skin and I'm like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, he gave you a half, as in the guard.
As in the guard is off and close to a zero. So
no, right.
Lesson
Ryan
learned.
FaceTimed me at like 1 o'clock. I didn't answer because I was busy at work, and I thought something was wrong. And he's like, "I have to show you this." I'm like, "Oh, this
something was
I'm
wrong.
Like, oh, this is going to be good.
Something was very wrong."
Dang. So, yeah, so Ryan, you chose the wrong words, bud.
I did. My chin is very cold, but it's growing on me. I think
it's not growing
or it isn't.
Yeah,
it will. It will grow back.
Rest I like peace. Your beard, Jose.
Thanks, bro. I haven't been to the barber in a week.
Oh, no. I like your beard, too. All right, cool.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You both look fantastic.
All right.
Don't worry about it. Other than my beard, we got some stuff to cover up from the last week we missed. Biggest story that we missed out on was Justin Fields being traded to the Steelers for a conditional sixth-round pick that can become a fourth-round pick, by my understanding, if he plays more than half the snaps next year. Fellas, what was your initial reaction to the trade? Mito, why don't you start us off?
Just three words. Bear's gonna bear. We literally talked about it, whether it was 3 weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago, whatever it was. We literally called this happening. And I was being funny when I said it, but I said it with meaning. Like, I actually believe this was gonna happen. It's just, I don't know. I think they could have got a lot more. Jose touched on it last week. They could have waited it out a little. It's just, I don't know. It was just a very knee-jerk move, I think.
When you say you called it, you mean saying that the Bears had this so perfectly that they're going to mess it up?
I don't know. It's crazy to me that a quarterback that young only goes for that pick, and it's not like he's a proven bust. There's a lot of people that think it was situational. So there still has to be some value there.
Yeah, I believe there was value there. And for whatever reason, I mean, whatever. To Ryan Pohl's credit, he said that he did right by Justin Fields, right? Which, cool. If that is the truth, I can appreciate it. But at the same time, a six-round pick? Like, that's do right
not
by
even
the player
this year
all
either
you want, but there's that's what I mean, like,
yeah,
do right by the player, but man, that I just feel like they got robbed, you know what I mean?
He rejected four trade offers, reports say Justin Fields did, and okay, you wanted to go to Pittsburgh, and I actually think he's going to get some playing time in Pittsburgh, even if he's not the starting quarterback. I'll get more into that in a second, but I mean, the Commanders got more for Sam Howell. Like, what are we doing?
Right. That's just it. And we have a few buddies that we talk to in our daily chat who will tell us how bad they believe Justin Fields is. And that may or may not be true. But when they sit there and tell me that there's no market, and I got to listen to other people saying there was no market, that's just not true.
It's not.
It's just not. He's a 24-year-old starting quarterback. He didn't play bad. He hasn't played great, but he hasn't played bad either. And like Moran said, I believe that had to do a lot with situation. He was on a bad team with a bad offense, with a bad offensive coach, you know. So I think Tomlin may end up saving his career. We'll have to see. But
not only the
first, they got to deal with Russell Wilson.
Not even the age. Like, obviously the age is important, but he's still cheap. So like,
right.
To tell me that a team's not willing to take a risk, I don't believe that. And then the whole doing right by the player. They traded him to the one team, besides like the obvious great quarterbacks in the league, that fixed their quarterback situation in the offseason. So you did right by him by making him a backup? I don't believe that. He probably wanted to go there after everything he's seen, the four trade offers that Ryan's talking about. But did he do right for you guys for 3 years? Maybe that's why you'll never be good as a team, because you want to do right by players.
Yeah.
I think it hurts Ryan Poles that this is such a strong QB class. Like, if this was like the Kenny Pickett year where your first quarterback is being picked in the 20s, you would have got a lot more for Justin Fields because the demand would have been even higher. Because these teams like Denver and Vegas and all them, they are literally planning to draft a quarterback, one of those top five guys, even if it's a Bo Nix or Penix, no matter what. So they'd rather have that in their back pocket than trade Justin Fields or for Justin Fields. So that's number one. Number two, Fields is going to a team where Arthur Smith is your OC. What do we know about Arthur Smith? He loves running the ball. You can't tell me that a quarterback who just rushed for 1,000 yards last year is not going to have time on the field. And I don't know if he's going to be like 50% of snaps or two QB team
Taysom
or something
Hill.
Like that.
That's going to be his role.
Yeah, it could be.
That's going to be his role.
You know, minus like the tight end part, but like you could be running RPOs here and there. Why not? And Russell Wilson hasn't impressed lately. So who's saying that Russell can't get benched? You know, I think there's a lot of possibilities for Justin Fields, honestly.
The thing for the Steelers is everything's in front of them. So they're only paying Russell Wilson $1 million. They're not going to be patient with him because of his contract. So he has one or two bad games. It's probably you're going to the bench. You only make $1 million. We don't have to make it work. He could even be cut in training camp. Very, very rare for that to happen with a guy like that. But who's not to say Justin Fields comes out and balls and everyone falls in love with him on that team? We don't know.
Right.
Well, that's a luxury Denver didn't have, too, is being able to just move on from him because they were paying him so much, like you said.
Yep. It's going to be nice to see what happens, though.
Okay. So the Bears also just continued making moves by trading for Keenan Allen. Fourth round pick. So I want to touch on what this means for the Bears really quick before we touch on what it means for the Chargers. So for me, for the Bears, I mean, guaranteed weapon. It's funny because a lot of people still refer to Keenan Allen in the league as like a top five receiver. And he was that good last year. But he's also like the old guy now. So this could so go either way for them. But I like the move, man. Give Caleb all the weapons that you didn't give Fields.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for Chicago for sure. I mean, they gave up a fourth round pick, which is whatever. You're not going to get a better player than Keenan Allen in the fourth round. On top of that, he doesn't need to step in and be the guy that he was in LA for the Chargers. Where he is the number one guy, he's going to get force-fed. They have DJ Moore, so he's now able to play a different role where he has – I mean, obviously they had Mike Williams, but Mike Williams I don't think is the player that DJ Moore is.
Not even close.
You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, for Keenan Allen to be opposite of that with someone, and then depending on what the Bears do with the second first-round pick they have, if they decide to go draft another wide receiver or they go get Brock Bowers or whatever they decide to do, it's a really good addition for that offense for not a lot of compensation, you know?
I don't think it's going to do much for them. I really don't see the Bears being good. It all depends on Caleb Williams. I feel like the moves they're making would have made more sense to go get a QB that's been in the league, like a Cousins, if you wanted to spend that kind of money long term. It's a weird mixture of players.
I mean, to be fair, though, Keenan just had the best year of his career.
I know.
108 catches, 1,243 yards, 7 TDs. He killed it last year.
He did, which is why he told the Chargers, I'm not taking a pay cut. You're crazy.
No, I wouldn't take a
did
pay cut.
You see that in his press conference?
Yeah, I wouldn't take it either at his age. But a lot of his numbers were just like filmy. No, I don't know how to explain it. Like, they weren't game-changing numbers because I don't know how to explain it. Like, you can get stats, but they're like the way you get those stats is
well, a lot of them were high reception games that they weren't in,
right?
Like score-wise with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, that's
so
it's like
low impact numbers, right?
Yeah, they weren't competitive last year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, he had his best year, but did his numbers translate to them being a better team? No, that's why they found him expendable.
Yeah, but there were so many other factors that went into the Chargers being bad
for sure.
Than
for
Keenan
sure.
Allen. And he's actually the reason that they weren't that bad, right? Like, they could have been a lot worse.
He is the single reason that the game with the Detroit Lions was even close, because he had himself a day that day.
Oh, yeah, he did.
My thing is just knowing the Bears with what their weapons are. Let's say they go get Brock Bowers. I've seen it before with the Bears. They just try to speed up their quarterback's progression because they have such a good team on paper where they're not going to let him develop. That's why I find it funny.
I think the problem with Chicago is they're going to try and rinse and repeat what they did with Justin Fields. And what I mean by that is, okay, you're adding these players around him. Like, you gave him DJ Moore last year. Sweet. DJ Moore's still there. They bring in DeAndre Swift, whatever. You had Montgomery 2 years ago. So, you know, Keenan Allen, great. Cole Kmet's obviously there. But if you don't put an offensive mind as far as what their offensive coordinator is going to do, or if is Eberflus going to switch the scheme and the concept, if you don't put that quarterback, regardless whether it was Justin Fields, which they didn't do, and now whatever rookie quarterback they take, if you don't put them in a position to succeed, it doesn't matter who you put around them, you know, and that's the mistake that I think Chicago is going to make. I hope they don't. Well, actually, I hope they do, because, you know, we don't rock with the Bears. But for the sake of the player, like, I just don't feel they set their quarterbacks up. Because if that was the case, Justin Fields would still be there.
Unless Justin Fields actually does suck, which we'll find out soon.
We're going to find that out, right.
We will. And, I mean, the Bears have a new OC, too, right, with Shane Waldron from Seattle. So, who, you know, was a big piece of rejuvenating Geno, and he had good weapons there to do so. So, I don't know, man. I feel like the Bears on paper are doing everything right, but they're the Bears at the end of the day, you know. Right, so, it's like this could all blow up in their face. But they already have a pretty good defense by, you know, all things considered. They're adding weapons on offense, and this is what they didn't do for Fields. Fields right. had no receiver for the first 2 years. Running backs were okay. O-line was not there. And defense was always kind of average. So, yeah, I mean, it's set up for Caleb. Pressure's on. But
it's set up beautifully for them to go 4-13.
No, that'll be Minnesota, I think. But, you know, cheers to both of them going 4-13. That'd
it's
be awesome.
Funny because those teams are set up very similarly now. Very similarly.
With the Bears and Vikings?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Good 1-2. Obviously, you don't have Justin Jefferson in Chicago, but good 1-2. You got a question at running back.
Yeah, true that.
Minnesota's obviously better at tight end, but if Chicago goes and gets Brock Bowers, it's set up very similar, their offenses.
You're right. No, it is pretty similar. Average to good defense. I think Chicago's defense is probably a little better, but...
Yeah, average to okay offensive line for now.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Quick draft question. Do the Vikings trade up for a quarterback? I think yes.
100%.
100%, right?
100%.
Take JJ at 4?
Don't be surprised if JJ goes 2.
I know. I'm hearing reports of that, too.
I just...
Antonio Pierce
I hate,
him.
Like, sometimes I hate not being a local fan because people think I'm a hater, but I don't see the hype in JJ. I really do not. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it, but why? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I think his pro day really impressed people. He
cool.
made
so
some throws
Zach, so did Zach Wilson's.
I know. That's what I think of on every pro day throw that I see, just 60 yards bomb, you know? But I think JJ's got talent. It's just that we didn't see enough of him. He just handed the ball off most of the time. So it's like he truly is the wild card QB of the draft.
And, bro, the teams they played had 9 or 10 on the box to stop the running back. Like, if they bite on the play action, it's an easy throw. Like, there's a lot to be desired.
Listen, man, no disrespect to Roman Wilson, okay? But JJ didn't have really anyone to throw to. if we're being honest. There was the way that Michigan was set up was to run the ball. So, of course, that's what we're going to do because that's what they wanted to do. You put JJ in Minnesota with Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, Justin Jefferson.
No, obviously, but like Roman Wilson compared to you guys playing Henry Ford is the best receiver they've ever seen.
Yeah, like, that's fine. I mean, Roman Wilson's a good player. Let's not.
No, I know. I'm just saying, based on the talent you guys played, and yes, you beat good teams in the playoffs. We know that. But I'm saying most of the season, you guys played garb teams, and like.
Right, and we ran Roman the ball 45 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's what concerns me. Like, how bad the teams you guys were playing. Not once did you guys want to be like, hey, JJ, go show what you're about. And I know it's about all winning, but. You guys had like 7 or 8 games where you won by 30 or won by 20. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like college football, though. Like, college football is just like that, though, where you're going to have 5 games a year, cupcake opponent. Where you're
no, I'm not talking about the blasting. I'm talking about not opening up the playbook when you're blasting him if he's still in the game. Like, that's what's concerning.
Yeah. I don't know why, but you saying the blasting like that made me chuckle.
Yeah, we know. Just like your beard was blasted off this afternoon.
Oh. It sure was. I don't know what hit me. All right, real quick, let's touch on the Chargers' impact, though, because the Chargers have lost now Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen. Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams gone. So Quentin Johnson is now your number one weapon, who had a garb rookie year in all meanings of the word. You're paying your quarterback, who we're still not sure can get the job done even. What are the Chargers doing? I mean, is this really the time to blow it up and start over? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Them losing Mike Eckler was crazy. No, I think the Chargers are doing the right thing. We've talked about it so much. It's just, I don't know, that whole, you know, definition of insanity thing. Everyone always says, I don't want to say it because it's played out, but like, doing the same thing over and over and over and nothing changes, like, you have to change. You have to do something different. You have to. And
yeah.
So they got rid of those 3 guys. Okay. What are they going to go from 5-6 wins to, you know, like, it's not going to make them not a playoff team or a playoff team. It's a brand new start. They didn't do anything last year.
Yeah, it's just Harbaugh building his team, right? The way he wants to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It brings up an interesting question, though. What do they do with their first-round pick at 5? I mean, you could argue they take the best receiver there, whether it's Marvin Harrison might not be there, whether it's Rome or Neighbors, or do they trade back and get picks? I mean, that's what I would do, right? Like,
or do they take that big tackle? They could take that big tackle or offensive lineman. They can really pretty much do whatever they want because they're rebuilding, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think they're trying to waste too much time with an already established quarterback.
So I mean, he's under contract, though.
I hate to say this, but Harbaugh is a genius, and this is why. How often has Harbaugh been interviewed when he's talking about the entire quarterback class and how great it is? He literally mentions it every single time he's in front of a mic. Yeah. You don't think he's doing that on purpose?
Are you saying that he's talking JJ up on purpose?
Huh?
Are you saying that he's hyping up JJ on purpose or just the class in general?
I'm saying he's hyping up the class in general, hoping they go 1 through 4, and then he gets Marvin Harrison at 5. It's genius.
I thought you were maybe talking, maybe him hyping up the class so that they get a phone call to trade back.
Mm. It could be that. It could go both ways. Same. But if Marvin Harrison falls at 5, he'll think in his head, man, everyone thinks I'm the quarterback guru and they all listen. Ha ha, I get Harrison. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, if they were able to land Marvin Harrison at 5.
At 5? That's nuts.
Oh, what a steal.
Yeah, that's a steal.
I think that's
what
he's doing.
Even if not, like if you can trade back to 8 and still get Neighbors, that's a steal to me. Like a lot of people would take Neighbors, not a lot of people, but some would take him over Marvin. Like yeah, I think Neighbors is that dude.
Harbaugh seen Marvin Harrison up close and personal, though.
Yeah, I had a game plan for him.
I think the Maserati. How many times did we hear that? College football, you got to love it.
I love college football.
I would still trade back, honestly, if I were them.
I mean, they may, depending if if one of those quarterbacks makes it, I mean, they are, one of them will make it to five. They may get an offer, man. The way that, I was just going to say, the way that Antonio Pierce is talking up JJ, I mean, who knows? Maybe he wants to jump up for him. We'll see.
I think it's all a plan.
Prediction. Do four QBs go 1 through 4?
I doubt it.
I'm saying yes.
No.
There are so many QB-hungry teams in that early to mid-first round. They're all going to try to compete with each other and trade up. I just feel it.
I think we think this every year, and then it just plays chalk. Yeah. This will be a fun draft, though. I think it'll be one of the funnest in a while.
It's an interesting draft, man, because there is a lot of wild cards.
Yep.
And it's all offense up front, so it's going to be
wild.
There is.
It's all offense. I think the highest I've seen a defensive player, with Dallas Turner, is 8 mm-hmm. or 9.
Yeah. Yeah, him to Atlanta seems like a really good fit. But
other than that, you're right. The first 7 picks are all offense.
Right.
It's going to be wild. All right.
Yeah, and we'll get more into draft talk as we go on. But we got to talk about these NFL rule changes that have been dropping these past couple days. Dropping, no pun intended, with the hip drop tackle being banned. So, I don't know. I'll give my thoughts in a second on this, but I want Jose to start. How do you feel about them banning the hip drop tackle for a 15-yard penalty?
I think it's bullshit. Sorry, excuse my French, man. That's a rough, rough penalty. If 15 yards is a lot, it's very impactful. On top of that, I mean, dude, I understand that people get hurt, but people get hurt all the time in the game. It's football. You know what I mean? You're trying to reduce injuries and things like that. But I don't really see it as that big of a deal. And for the most part, the NFLPA and the players really didn't see it as that big of a deal either. You know what I mean? Like, it's just part of the game. How else are these – I mean, so depending on angles and things like that, I'm not a pro football player, but sometimes that's guys' only option. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think
imagine someone that weighs 240 is running a 4.4. He gets by you or he just beat you on the throw. How do you tackle him? What do you do?
Right.
Like, what? And the whole thing about, oh, we're protecting players, and I also think it's bullshit times two, so we can say bullshits, but, like, okay, we're player safety, right about all that, right? Player safety, we're sending people to Brazil on a Friday, and then they got to come back and play the following week, or whatever it is. And then player safety, we added an extra game. We're planning on adding an 18th game. And then the goal is, they said, in 3-4 years to add a 19th game. So what are we talking about? I think that's more,
I agree,
more unsafe than, you know, a little tackle. Can you even name 4 people that got hurt by a hip drop tackle? It's just recency bias. That's all it is.
Can I share my little conspiracy theory? This is the NFL wanting more offensive production and feigning like they care about player safety.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, how many ways are left for a defensive player to bring a guy down?
Yeah.
Honestly, like, what do you want them to do? You can't go high. You can't go low. You can't pull them down from behind. You can't fall on them with all your weight, especially if you're a quarterback, right? Like, I don't know what defensive players are supposed to do. And then Kirby Joseph goes at a guy's knees like TJ Hockenson, because guess what? Hockenson has 70 pounds on him, like Mito referenced. And then people get mad at him for making a dirty play, quote unquote.
Right. He's a dirty player.
You're making them make dirty plays by outruling every other way to tackle a guy. It's crazy.
So the thing about that is, wanting more offense, a report actually came out that the NFL's upset with the low scoring.
I saw
because
that.
Because the average in scoring went from like 46.5 to like 43 last year, or the year, or the last 2 years combined, whatever it is. So Ryan, I think Ryan hit it 100%. I think he's exactly right. It's, let's care about something else to show we care about, you know, points drive money. We all know this. High scoring attracts fans, especially the casual fan. So right. I think it's
think
true.
They I agree, and I think they need to be careful because, like we've seen with the NBA, which is a sport that I can no longer watch because of how hard they've pushed offense. I refuse to watch it. I cannot watch it anymore.
Same thing.
You mean you don't like the average NBA game being 147 to 140?
It's awful.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy, bro.
It's ridiculous. And especially like us growing up in Detroit and watching the Going to Work Pistons, who are holding teams to like 82 points a game. This is it's a mockery of the sport. I swear. I can't deal with the NBA anymore.
I remember in middle school, like when we had to go to bed, we couldn't stay up for the West Coast games. And we see a team score 120. The first question we ask is, how many overtimes was it?
Right, exactly.
And
that's
now
a double overtime game, right?
Yeah, now if you go to bed and a team scores 90, you ask who was injured, who didn't play. It's wild.
Yeah. And for as good and popular as the NFL is, I think sometimes they can be so out of touch with what the fans actually want. Like, the fans love good defense. They love hard-nosed defenses. The 2001 Ravens still get talked about all the time. One of the most popular NFL teams ever. And you're just taking things like that away. And is the hip drop rule going to move all great defenses out? No. But it's just like the culmination of that and the roughing the passers and all these crazy defensive restrictions that get placed on this. I hate it. Can't stand it.
You want to bet more people this year get injured from the hip drop tackle than ever before? I'll take you guys to dinner if I'm wrong. Guaranteed.
I'm still waiting on a dinner from a bet you lost like 6 years ago.
Yeah,
so don't believe him, folks. He's lying to you.
When you pay Joe for your USC dinner or Texas beating USC, I'll pay you.
Is Joe a listener of the pod? I didn't have money at the time, bro. I'm sorry.
Well, you do now. You do now. That was literally 20 years ago, I think.
I'm spending all my money on bad shaves. I don't know what to do.
Hey, speaking of that game, real fast. Speaking of that USC-Texas game, before we jumped on the pod, I was scrolling X because that's what I do with my downtime because I'm a degenerate.
You got knocked out?
You saw that, bro? Went night-night in a bar fight, bro.
Wait, who got knocked out?
Vince Young.
What?
Yeah, I guess he was in a bar fight. He wasn't even the aggressor. I feel like one of his buddies. I was watching a video. He was just trying to hold the guys back that they were having a disagreement with, long story short. And then one guy just like pretty much sucker punched him. He got caught with a stray.
Bro, he did. It's I see a famous guy and I want to knock him out. That's all it was. If that wasn't Vince Young, he would have never did that.
Yeah, that was crazy. I just saw it, literally.
Former Packer.
Well, now I'm definitely not paying.
He's not so young anymore either.
Okay.
Vince old.
What a college player, though, honestly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, one of the best ever.
Agreed.
Crazy. He wasn't that bad in the NFL either. It just didn't work out.
He wasn't
a total bust. He had his moments.
He was a bust. But, I mean, it sucks. That was the Jeff Fisher Tennessee Titans, right? That was his last stint there. That was
Mr. 8-8 himself.
I was just about to say that.
Exactly. Yeah, so he didn't really get a fair shake either. But
7-9. Next year's the year. All right, another rule change, and this one I actually like. The NFL changes the kickoff rule to mirror what the XFL does, and it's kind of hard to describe if you can't see it on video. But there's a video floating around of basically the players can't start running on either side until the ball lands. And they are closer to each other and not going full speed. So really the only people going full speed are the returners and the kicker, however fast that is. But I love this rule actually because it's going to lead to more kicks being returned. And I think last year only like 20% of kickoffs or something, maybe even less, were returned, which is a joke. Like you might as well not have them.
Who led the league in return yards for kicks?
Go ahead and tell us.
The guy that you didn't want back?
I didn't want as a nickel. I don't want him as a nickel. I don't want him as a nickel.
Just keep it a buck.
I don't want him as a nickel corner. You know that. I don't.
I know. You guys paid him like a nickel, though. Keyshawn Nixon.
I know.
Keyshawn Nixon. And it's funny because paying him actually doesn't look so stupid now because this rule increases his value.
100%. I'm not saying they're geniuses, but I think it was known that it was going to get accepted. I think it had to do a lot
nope.
with it.
You want to know why that's a no? Because the Packers voted against this rule.
No,
they
no.
were one of three teams.
I know that, but they had to think it was going to happen.
So to touch on the rule, I'm actually happy that it happened because I remember, especially like over the last couple of years, like you watch the games, it's like the best example is, I think, and that's the one that the NFL cited, was the Super Bowl, where there was 12 kickoffs, not one returned. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, watching games, like, when are they just going to get rid of this play? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because it was pointless. You might as well just start the other team at the 25. And at least now you're going to get something out of it, or the potentially get something out of it.
Is the ball spotted at the same spot?
Yes. I think it's the
from
yeah,
the 35.
The 35 or 40, and then the two teams. So, no, I think it's the ball spotted at the 40, and then the kicking team, the other players, are at the opponent's opposite 40, and then I believe there's a 10-yard buffer. So I believe that then the receiving team's line is at the 30, and then obviously the returners, you know, whatever,
so
at the 5.
Don't you think that more kickers are just going to boom the ball out of bounds?
No, because there's incentives
yeah.
not to.
Oh, that's so right. It goes to the, what, the 30, I think it is
touchback
now?
Goes to the 30, and I think out of
okay.
bounds goes to the 40.
Okay.
So... yeah, it really doesn't behoove you to do that.
I digress because I thought that didn't change, so I apologize. So no, yeah, that no, makes yeah. sense.
It's a brand new
rule.
I think we're all just still getting used to it.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't like about it is it takes the surprise onside kick option out, like off the table. You can still do onside kicks, but you have to declare, like I do declare I'm gonna do an onside kick. Like I don't know how that works, but like you just have to let the other team know that you're doing it.
I wish they would have adopted the 4th and, is it 15 that the XFL has?
I think it's 4th and 20. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I wish they would have just adopted that, because I feel like those rules coincide each other. Like,
instead of the onside
being,
kick, you're
yeah.
saying.
Correct, because onside okay. kicks now, Ryan's like, if you have to declare, how are you going to do it?
No, it's declare.
Oh, sorry. But yeah, I think I'd be surprised if you see an onside kick recovered this year.
I mean, I don't remember the last one we've seen. I'm not even
in
lying.
In general, yeah.
No, there was.
Last year,
I don't
believe so.
No, there was. I'm almost positive there was.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
There had to have been one.
I don't know. Do I have to look it up? I don't think there was, but maybe.
I mean, do you remember onside kicks and when it happened?
I mean, I remember the one the Saints did.
Well, duh, but. Like if
that's
you,
the only
if,
one I think of every
if
time.
If you spouted out, oh, there was an onside kick on October 27th at 1 p.m., I'd be like, all right, Jose, we got to go.
No, I get what you're saying, but the onside kick is so rare that I feel like when it is done and
you
done,
remember it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I got you. Right. I got you.
All right, last rule that was introduced being a team gets an extra challenge now if you get one of your two original challenges correct. Moran shaking his head because our own Dan Campbell introduced this
it
rule. Shout out to Dan Campbell, man, for so many things.
MCBC.
Especially this.
It's so funny to me that he's the one that introduced this because his question making is, like, questionable. No pun intended.
What do you mean his question making? What does that
hold
mean?
Hold on. His
decision
you guys know what I'm saying.
We
his
got
decision
you. We got
making.
You, bro. We got
I'm
you.
Sorry. His decision making is questionable.
He is the questionnaire.
You should have decided
yeah.
to say that correctly.
So I feel like this literally eliminates, you know, having to make tough decisions, which obviously he fumbled on a few times.
How so? It's just a challenge. It's just challenging a bad play.
It could go either way.
Right.
I know that, but now you're more inclined to challenge it because if, like, because you had to get two out of two right to get a third. And now you don't. So now when he gets the first one right, like a touchy play on the second time, oh, I'll challenge. I have nothing to lose. I already got a third one locked up. Like
the challenges are such a situational thing that I don't know
I
if
get
you
it.
Could loop it in with a certain
no,
individual
no.
like that.
I'm not,
you know what I mean?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like if you get the first one right, it could be the smallest thing on the second one. It's... what do you lose? A timeout? If it's in the first half, who cares? If you have three and it's the
yeah.
fourth quarter, who cares? I have another one lined up. Like
it does add a little more strategy to it.
Yeah, it eliminates the tough decision making, assholes.
Yeah, but you were already getting the third challenge. The only thing is you had to get two correct instead of
correct.
Just one. I mean,
so what I'm saying, like you kind of get a free one if that first one was
yeah.
right. I get what you're saying. But hey, I mean, good job for getting your challenge right.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, but you know? It was better when, oh, we got two right. We deserve a third. I don't think you should get a third. I think what they need to do with challenges is, in the fourth quarter, you make everything challengeable. And that's it.
Well, but you also don't want to slow the game down too much. And that, for me, is the only downside of this rule being put in place, is that more stoppages slow the game down. And sometimes these stoppages take, like, 5 minutes, and it feels like forever. And leagues have gotten better at this, like even the NBA. But I don't know. I just don't like the game being stopped if it doesn't need to off some rinky-dink play that doesn't even matter.
Right. I think my favorite thing would be 4 minutes left in the fourth. You can challenge anything you want.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to something like that either.
Yeah.
You can't give too much freedom, though. But we'll see how it works. I just hope it doesn't slow it down too much.
Think about the challenges as a free throw, though. Like, imagine, you know, you hit one free throw, you miss the second, you get another one. It's just, I don't know. It's like, it's the participation trophy that everyone gets one. I'm not a fan of it.
That's a good example, actually. The one and one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine losing both your challenges like an asshole and not getting a third.
I mean, that's happens
gonna,
all the time.
That's gonna actually be funny.
The first guy to do that's gonna get destroyed on Twitter. Oh yeah,
100%.
Imagine it's Dan Campbell. The man who introduced the rule himself.
Off the fourth down he shouldn't have gone for.
Would you then call that guy that missed the two challenges the questionnaire? Because you question what he's doing? No? All right, cool.
All right, sure. Yeah, you knew that was a bad one. You should have decided not to say that.
Use better judgment.
Yeah, all like right. Explaining how to shave your beard.
I'm doing it myself from now on. I'm not trusting anyone anymore.
It can't be any worse.
I mean, honestly.
I think it looks fine. Honestly, yeah. I do. No, it'll go back.
So does Ray Charles.
Wow.
All right. A big trade that took place that we got to talk about, because a lot of Lions fans were wanting this guy. L'Jarius Sneed to the Titans, of all the teams. I don't understand. It really surprised me. For a third round pick. Murad, go ahead. Get your flowers or whatever you're nodding your head for.
First of all, I want to say that I like that the Lions addressed the cornerback position. Okay?
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. What I do want to say is I don't like how quick they did it. And I feel like this is why you guys didn't get who you wanted. Now, whether L'Jarius Sneed plays better than Carlton Davis, I think it's 90% chance he does. And if he doesn't, we'll all be shocked. I think we can all agree on that. But I think the trigger was just too quick for the Lions. You had a full offseason. And I know Jose talked about it, that maybe when they went after Sneed, the offer wasn't there. They didn't accept anything. That's fine. But why make the move, like, for another player right away? Because it always happens. It's happened for the last 30 years in the NFL. Like, we go after someone and it didn't work out. I'm pretty sure it happened with Charles Woodson and the Packers, because I think we offered a contract the first week and then we waited it out and then we got him for the low and then we won a Super Bowl. You guys wouldn't understand, but you know what I'm saying.
All right.
Uncalled for.
Completely uncalled for.
I mean, I think the Lions weighed all their options before trading for Davis. I mean, you gotta think they took a look at Sneed and weighed all the options and his contract and everything like that. And I know everyone's gonna say, like, oh, it's not about the money, but it kind of is when you're like a top eight paid corner or whatever he is now. I don't know. I mean, maybe the Lions just didn't like the fit.
Yeah. So, like Maron kind of touched on it, originally when I first saw the deal, and I was shocked. Like, I'm like, it went for a third, and not this year's third, next year's third, and a swap of sevens. And I'm like, you know, there's no way the Lions wouldn't have done that deal. And I thought that maybe, you know, when they originally had reached out, that deal wasn't on the table, and KC maybe overplayed their hand, yada, yada, yada. As the week went on and I started, you know, looking into the deal, though, and checking out a few, you know, what the beat writers had to say, I think it's more of a case kind of like what they were talking about, as far as the player was never the issue. The pick was never the issue. They really just didn't want to pay him $19 million a year. That's what a lot of these beat writers are saying. And I'm not going to lie, I don't agree with it. I would have paid him, and I would have paid him gladly. But I don't know.
So can I jump in, Ryan, real quick, just before I lose my train of thought?
Go ahead.
You guys got Carlton on a one-year deal, right?
Right.
The goal is to re-sign him, correct?
Yeah, I believe they're already having talks.
Okay. So, if he balls out this year, you don't think he's going to make the 17, 18, 19 million?
It depends.
I mean,
it depends on how well he plays. I mean, are you top of your game like LeJarius Sneed, or are you pretty good?
That's fine. Let's say he balls out, just for example sakes. If he balls out, what's the difference between paying him and paying LeJarius Sneed? And the reason I say that is because if he balls out this year, and let's say LeJarius Sneed balls out again this year, wouldn't you say that Carlton Davis balling out is more of a fluke and it's a bigger risk re-signing him next year for that $18, $19 million rather than LeJarius Sneed already being all pro for if he does it again this year for another year? Like, that's my disconnect.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to see what happens. Like I said, I personally would have paid LeJarius Sneed. I would have done that contract. I would have done that deal, that exact deal, if I was Brad Holmes. I'm not, though, and I don't know what's going on and what they were thinking. I have no idea, man. I won't lie to you and say that I was thrilled that he went to Tennessee, that he's not a Detroit Lion. You know what I'm saying? I can't say that. I'm not.
So,
but we have to let it ride out.
So how good does how good does Carlton Davis have to be this year for you to be okay with him making LeJarius Sneed money? Does he have to be all pro?
He has to be an all pro. He has to be on the level of LeJarius Sneed.
Okay. And just a follow up question, and I'm sorry, Ryan, I'll let you jump in.
Go ahead. But
if he's not, and you guys still pay him that, and he just makes the Pro Bowl, are you upset?
We won't pay him $19 million. And just for the record, LeJarius Sneed is making $19 million next year. I think his contract is 16 on average. Carlton Davis making 14.5. If we pay him another $1.5 million, is it going to be annoying? Yeah, but not if he's playing at that level. Obviously, your play backs your contract, right? If you're paying at a high level, I don't care. I'll pay you. The same reason why I had no issues paying LeJarius Sneed. We just ultimately didn't.
Yeah, that's the thing I think that's throwing me off, because if they're willing to pay Carlton next year for playing well, why didn't they just do it with LeJarius, you know?
No, I'm with you.
Two things stuck out for me with... What was Cam Sutton's effect on this? By that, I mean, if the Cam Sutton charges, whatever news came earlier, before we traded for Carlton Davis, would we have been more aggressive in going to get Sneed? Because now your need is greater, right? Like, I'm not as comfortable as I was last week knowing that Cam Sutton is not a Lion anymore, because now it's Carlton Davis and all those other guys we talked about last week, right? Yeah. So I personally believe that if Cam Sutton was released before Sneed was traded, Brad Holmes picks up the phone a little harder, speaks a little louder, and is like trying to get Sneed a little more than he did. That's what I would have done, at least.
I was just saying, with that being said, though, Cam Sutton left the facility 2 weeks ago. I don't think that Sneed was traded at that time, and I think him leaving the facility and not being reachable was a sign that the Lions knew they were releasing him. So I think that was prior to the Sneed.
No. Sneed was already traded for by the time that happened.
Are you sure?
But there's also some unknowns, because Rod Wood said like he found out the day that the world found out and that Cam Sutton was still at the facility. Maybe the Lions knew something earlier than the general public. I don't know. Like, you got to think that the Florida PD would have reached out to the Lions knowing who Cam Sutton was if you did your research. So, I don't know. There's just a whole lot of unknowns. But another point is we're in a division with very good receivers. Like, extremely good receivers.
Yeah.
Like, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, all the Packers guys, Jefferson. Like, take your pick. A good cornerback for a team going for a Super Bowl is that much more important in the NFC North. And I don't know. I would have loved to have Sneed too. I would have paid him that money. I agree with Jose. I hope it works out. That's all I'm going to say. I still think we draft a corner too.
Yeah, I believe at some point we're going to draft a corner. And just to touch on what you said about the Cam Sutton situation and how that affected this, I kind of agree with what you were saying. And because of what Dan Campbell has said recently with now that Cam Sutton is obviously out of the picture, cornerback is still a top thing that we're going for. That's I think he was on record as recent as yesterday saying it's still a priority now because it changes the entire landscape of our defense. We went from having Cam Sutton and Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson, so now you remove one of those guys who started for you all was 16 games or 17 games last year. That's a big deal. Regardless of how poorly he played at times, he's still a decent player, you know. And it's a big piece to lose. And, you know, hopefully he takes care of whatever he's got to take care of and gets his life together. But as far as the football team, I mean, yeah, we need to find a replacement for him.
Crazy story, too.
It's insane.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that the Lions, like, I can't believe he was at the training facility when they found out. And according to Rod Wood, they approached him. They said, you should turn yourself in. And then he left. And then he's gone. Like, no one knows where he is. Like, the whole thing seems so fishy to me. I've seen enough Netflix crime documentaries to know that we're missing a big piece of information here that I don't know. I just feel like the whole thing is fishy.
So did you guys hear what was going on 97.1? I just want to address this because I think it was so silly. And I said it jokingly in the chat, blaming the Lions that...
Oh, the Lions... yeah, what Rico said?
Yeah, like that guy, man.
What did he say? I didn't catch that.
What they were talking about was obviously the Cam Sutton situation. And they, you know, were giving out all the details and yada yada. And it came to where we were just talked about how they had learned about the situation with the world, and Cam Sutton was in the facility. And when they approached him, whatever they exchanged, whatever pleasantries they were going to exchange, they told him, hey, turn yourself in, do the right thing, blah, blah, blah. Cam Sutton leaves. And Rico put in his two cents like, well, why did you guys just let him leave? You guys basically just let him get away. You guys should have called Allen Park police like, hey, he's outside, and then went and approached the player. So that way, if he did try to leave. And Valeni, to his credit, was like, well, no, you're just, as an employer, you went and advised your employee, hey, this is what's happening. You need to go turn yourself in. And that's it. You've done all you need to do.
It's not even about that. Valeni's wrong, too. So if you were never a violent offender, they literally give you the right and decency to turn yourself in. It's not like this man killed 3 or 4 people.
Right.
And
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think that's what Valeni said as well. You just go and advise your employee to do the right thing.
And that's what attorneys advise is, hey, our client will come in, but let's do it peacefully, and we don't want to embarrass him.
Right.
So that's what they did.
Yeah.
And in my world, as a social worker who works for a school, there's something called mandated reporting. Everyone who works in the school building, whether it's a custodian, a social worker, secretary, teacher, whoever, if you see signs of abuse or something going wrong, you are mandated to call, okay? A National Football League team has zero responsibility to the police or to anyone discerning someone's case. So if you're the Lions and you're President Rod Wood, are you going to involve yourself voluntarily in an ongoing discussion about if someone's on the run or not? Like, no, you have no responsibility to do so, and you don't need that media firestorm anyway.
Bingo.
And you don't document everything like a school building would, like we do, to tell them, oh, yeah, he came in at this time. I said this, this, and that, and he left, blah, blah, blah. And they don't know whether he's innocent or guilty anyway. Now, if he killed someone and showed up at your facility, you should probably call the cops, because then it's like you're trying to protect your own ass and other people around you. This is not one of those situations.
Right.
Let's even be dramatic. Let's say Rod Wood goes up to Cam Sutton and Cam Sutton gets triggered and hurts the guy. Obviously, I'm being dramatic, but like, why is that his responsibility to do?
No, it's not. It's not from what you're talking about, from just his own self and his own well-being, but also the fact, like, could you imagine calling Allen Park police like, hey, Cam Sutton's here. I don't know if you want to take him in because he's got a warrant.
They're going to be like, for what, dude?
Yeah, well, not only that, there's that part, or there's just, You got the entire Department of Allen Park Police swarming, you know, the training facility. Like, you don't want that media.
You know how many helicopters will be above? It'll be Aaron Hernandez all over again, and you don't even know what the guy did.
Yeah, it's. I don't feel like the Lions did anything wrong. They went and advised their employee, "Hey, you, this is what we know. This is what you should probably do. Mm-hmm. Go get yourself some representation and turn yourself in," which is what Rod Wood said they told him.
I think they handled it perfectly, actually. You did right by Cam Sutton, and we have a whole culture of next man up, like we're with you guys, players, coach mentality, blah, blah, blah. You did what you had to do for him, but you're also not going to, like, turn the guy in and have people, the SWAT team, you know, like all these cameras around Allen Park. Like, you're not going to do that. Like, that's just so not in the Lions' best interest to do.
It's also innocent until proven guilty. You can't say that's the case and then treat him as a criminal.
That's
like people always want people to get attacked and arrested and this and that. Like, I pray to God and I hope the guy's okay. I won't get into that, but I hope whoever he hurt is okay, more importantly. But I hope it just gets resolved somehow and not. I don't want to hear breaking news, if you guys get what I'm saying. I'm not going to talk about it.
I get what you're saying. I had the same thought. Like, how do you go missing for 2.5 weeks? I told Jose this. Like, how do you go missing for 2.5 weeks in today's world and be okay? Like, forget football, bro. I'm where you are. I'm just hoping he's okay and that his girl's okay and all that stuff. Like, it's crazy to me.
It is. It's wild.
All right. In a more positive light, kind of walking off with the sunset, so to speak, Aaron Donald officially called it. He's been threatening to do so for a couple years, but he called it a career retiring. It's funny. You read comments, and some refer to him as the GOAT. Others are saying no way. Where do you guys stand on where Aaron Donald stands all time as a defensive player?
I mean, I made a joke with Moran at the beginning before we went on live and said he's the GOAT. But I don't think he's the GOAT. That was more so just a jab at Moran and his love for Reggie White. But, no, he's up there on that list. I don't know where I would place him. I'd have to really take a good look at it because there's been some great, great players. But he is one of those players. He is a great player. And he made a very, very big impact on that team on the defensive side, and just what he did to make other teams account for him. Like, it's just insane the amount of attention teams paid to him and the amount of attention that he demanded because he was just so good. So very deserving. He made the game-sealing play in the Super Bowl year, you know, for them to get their ring. And yeah, I wish him nothing but the best, man. He's a great player that deserves his flowers and deserves to walk off on his own terms.
I love that he, like you said, walked off on his own terms. It's I know J.J. Watt retired, but I feel like that was more forced than anything because I think J.J. Yeah. still wanted to play. I will ask you guys this since we're talking about it. Does Aaron Donald come back for any reason?
I don't think so.
I was thinking about it because I popped up on Twitter just guys that look weird in different jerseys. And I don't know why I feel like Aaron Donald would just come to play for, like, the playoffs. I don't know why I had that feeling.
I thought about that too, but he mentioned kind of being burnt out.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of done with it. And when you've been referencing it for some years, and he's not an old player. Like, he still could have dominated for a couple years, in my opinion. You know, but I think he was done with it. Like, I don't think he had that drive to, oh, I want to be the undisputed defensive GOAT, blah, blah, blah. I think he did everything he wanted to do. The Super Bowl win kind of wrapped him up in terms of what his career meant to him. And I think for him, that was enough. Mm-hmm. Some players are just like that, man, where they don't want to drag it out. They don't want to, they have nothing else to prove and they just hang it up.
Yeah. If you ever, listen to Brad Holmes talk about Aaron Donald, like when he was doing the scouting process and the type of player that he was, like he was the first guy on the field. He's just an extremely hard worker. That's just how he prepares for his career, for the games, for getting ready for the NFL. And when you're that kind of guy who puts in that kind of effort and that kind of determination and you have that set routine And then one day you wake up and you just don't have the drive to do it anymore.
It's over. It turns off right away.
Exactly. So
it's something you have to be totally bought into, man. Like, as an NFL player, I'm sure it consumes your entire life. Like, if you're not, it's kind of like the Barry Sanders conversation, you know? Like, if you're not in it, like, it's just over.
Right.
But it got me thinking too. Oh, go ahead, Ryan.
Go ahead, Ryan. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, because I was going to say, it got me thinking about his draft class, because every time I think of Aaron Donald, no matter what, I think of Eric Ebron and how we took him 10th overall. I'll never be able to justify that pick. But just
he's retired too, though. He retired at the same time. You guys did good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. NFL legend Eric Ebron hangs up his cleats. Just some names that got taken before him. Greg Robinson, also a former Lion, also taken by the Rams, number two. Did not work out. Blake Bortles. As we refer to Blake Wardles.
Wardles!
Sammy Watkins by Buffalo.
Boy, former Packer.
I actually think Sammy Watkins had a good start to his career. He got some nasty foot injury that, you know, plagued him the entire time. Not totally his fault. And, of course, Eric Ebron. I mean, what else do you say, bro?
What pick was Aaron Donald again?
13th.
Right after Odell.
Yep. It went Eric Ebron, who the Lions should have never took. But then the next three players would have been great for us. Yeah. Taylor Lewan, Odell Beckham, Aaron Donald.
Yep. Ryan, can you go through the 12 before him real quick? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's okay. So Houston took Jadeveon Clowney, number one.
Okay.
St. Louis takes Greg Robinson. Jacksonville takes Blake Wardles.
Woo!
Buffalo takes Sammy Watkins. Oakland takes Khalil Mack. Wow, what a pick.
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta Falcons, Jake Matthews. Tampa Bay, Mike Evans. Cleveland Browns, Justin Gilbert. Minnesota took Anthony Barr. Detroit took Eric Ebron. Then Tennessee took Taylor Lewan. And the Giants took Odell.
So what? Is that three Hall of Famers?
Well, Taylor Lewan's probably one, right? Mike Evans is definitely one. Khalil Mack's definitely one.
Oh, four.
I don't think Lewan's a Hall of Famer.
No, I don't think so either.
No? He had a good career.
He was decent.
Taylor Lewan and Jake Matthews are probably very similar in careers.
I'd say they are.
But three Hall of Famers in the top 13, yeah, because Aaron Donald, Mike Evans, Khalil Mack.
That's wild.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, that's the year we lost Ndamukong Suh,
yep.
And we were just clamoring to take a DT.
Yep. God, so literally easy, the bro. Next three the right guys thing. The next three right. players after Ebron would have made all the sense in the world. Obviously Donald being one because it plugs boom right in next to Fairley at that time, but you could have took the left tackle. Lewan played for 10 years in the league, I believe, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, long time.
Yeah. And then obviously Odell fell off, but that you would have got the prime Odell those
prime
first
Odell with
years.
Calvin.
Yeah, stop it.
Oh my god. Yeah,
man. Odell's such an overrated player, man. I was thinking about it yesterday. It's crazy.
No, but when Prime Odell was different.
He was.
Sure, but what do you remember Odell for?
Yeah, the one catch.
The one-handed?
Literally.
Well, it's not like it was all one play. Like, he made many plays.
He did break up with Kim Kardashian yesterday.
Oh, is that news?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Man.
She was talking about having her...
His baby? Yeah, yeah.
Her eggs frozen and good genetics. He's like, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm all set. This Hollywood shit ain't for me.
Dodge that bullet, buddy. Go sign up Miami, meet some new ladies on the beach.
For real.
All right, guys. And with that, we are going to wrap it up. We thank you for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Hot of the Little Cheese Podcast. And we post funny reels from our show, interesting topics, this and that.
Look out for our YouTube coming soon as well.
Yeah, we're definitely going to start uploading to the YouTube. Just start trying to put out more content. So, yeah, give us a follow, give us a like, subscribe to the YouTube channel, download the episodes. Doesn't take much from you guys. It helps us out a lot, so we appreciate it all. Appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
For sure. And as always, may your Kool-Aid stay blue and the cheese stay on your head. Take care.